Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
He had a testimony for God. He was taken directly to heaven without having to die.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
We have a heritage, we have a history, we have an ancestry that have gone on before us that their lives don't. And if you were to ask them, if you could bring them back from the grave and say, tell me what you'd want me to do, they would not want us to focus our time and our attention on their life. They would want us to focus our time and attention on the very God that they worshiped. And that's why you have chapter 11, which is an exposition and a preaching about the statement, the just shall live by faith, Romans 1:17. It shows up in Galatians, it shows up in Hebrews, and it's based off of Habakkuk, the Old Testament minor prophet that said, if you're going to live, you've got to live by faith, and the just are the people that are going to live by faith. Then he explains it, he gives the expression to it, and then he walks through the rest of chapter 11, which I want to focus on individuals today as examples to us, because they speak much to us. These are men that show faith in action. Fact is, let's look at one of these right now, because I think it's important to note that as the list begins to accumulate, you start in verse 4, I think all of these, every believer, we need them in their life of faith. The same topics that the writer of Hebrews is emphasizing are the same for us today. Mankind's needs are still the same. Whatever language you speak, it's critical to understand the emphasis of every one of these people that we're going to name had a reason to be in there. Abel has one. Notice, if you would, in verse 4, the Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. In other words, he brought a more acceptable offering to God. And it said God accepted Abel's offering. Why? To show that he was a righteous man. That's what he's saying. You know, he said it this way. He obtained a witness that he was righteous. And as he was approved, here's Abel, who was a part of the very first family. Some would suggest he was actually twins. I don't know that the case, but you do know there are differences between Cain and Abel. I mean, you can see it very simply. This is not in the text, but you can see their ages must be different because one was born than the other. His abilities were different because Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground, and their attitudes were different. Understand as well that the whole attitude, when God disapproved of his worship, that he was aiming at the heart of it. And Cain took out his anger on his brother, whose righteousness highlighted his own unrighteousness. And be in a place to realize that just because something would look good, because they both offered the same thing, you can't always tell by what's looking on the outside. It's what's looking on the inside, and his whole reaction was wrong. Reactions always reveal a hard attitude. You say, well, you know, I can tell the difference between, can you? You sure you can? You have to be in a place to realize that it is the heart of the matter, and that's what God's going after, the heart. That's what his concern is for Abel. And that's why Abel is living by faith, because Abel is realizing that, you know, I'm coming to God. This is a portrait of salvation. Very simply, this is why God gave this to us. And let me give you letter B, a very simple lesson, life lesson off of Abel that I did mention to you, which is that don't do anything today that will keep you from doing anything for God in the future. We're going to do things and anything today that will keep you from doing anything for God in the future. Say, God, keep me from that. I don't want it to be limiting what you want from me. And that's why it puts Abel, and let me just mention Enoch, and we're not going to take time to really walk through all of this, but I think I can mention very quickly that Enoch, not only has Abel lived by faith in worshiping God, he mentioned in Hebrews 11, and let me just read the text to you, one verse, but I think it's significant. You can keep your finger in Genesis 5, and we'll come back to that. He said, by faith Enoch, who was translated, he was translated that he should not see death. and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, or before he, in one way to say that, he was taken up into heaven without dying. Suddenly, he disappeared because God took him. And very simply, it says his before his translation, he had this testimony. Before he was taken up out of heaven, they couldn't find him. He was taken up. He was approved as pleasing God. I wrote my Bible years ago. God, please, if there's anything put on my tombstone, put that one. He pleased God. Many of you have been to funerals, and every so often, if you're in a funeral, the thought runs through your mind. You know what? What are they going to say about me? You know, if you could capsulize it all down, summarize it, boil it down to one thing, wouldn't it be great to say, as it was with Enoch, he pleased God? Please God. That's what he did. What do you want to do with your life? They ask kids, hey, what are you doing to grow up? I ask kids one time, what are you doing to grow up? You know what he told me? Please God. Boy, I thought, boy, some parents selling in the right stuff. Please God. How do you word your please God? What did Enoch do? What was the purpose and why was Enoch in this whole Bible? And I think it's interesting, if I can say that, because it's important to know who is Enoch. Look at Genesis 5, and with this we'll close. I mentioned chapter 4. We talked about Cain and Abel, and he does say then that eventually Adam knew his wife and they had a son named Seth. And in chapter 5, this is the generations of Adam. This is the ancestry. This is accurate about what's being said. And notice what's being said, and I think it's important to note that he lists many, many people. He mentions about Adam living 930 years, and Adam died. And then he mentions Seth. In verse 8, and he died. And then verse 9, about Enos, and he lived 90 years. Then he lived 105 years, and he died. And then Canaan, verse 12, and he died. In verse 15, Mahalalel, and he died. And Jared, he died. And then verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years. He begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In other words, God transferred him. In essence, can I use this term? He was raptured. He lived on the earth, and he was now transferred into heaven. By the way, all of these that are listed right here are those men that lived very long lives. You say, Pastor, how many lived long lives? Most would suggest that in that day, previous to the flood, there was a canopy. There was some kind of system which the earth with the ultraviolet rays and every other parts that we live in a sin-cursed world, that there was a world in which it provided opportunities for men to live very long lives. People were 300 years. That's not a long life. But understand that in this regard, here you find Enoch, he walked with God. Who was Enoch? He was the seventh generation from Adam. And that seventh generation from Adam, he was a contemporary with Adam. If you read through the numbers and you pick it up, that Enoch walked with God and for 308 years, they knew each other. When Adam was 622 years old, Enoch was born. And for 300 plus years, they knew each other. He was a father. He had Methuselah. Can you imagine Enoch talking to Adam? Adam, how was it? Tell me how it was. You walked with God in the coolness of the day. You talked with him. Can you imagine Adam telling Enoch? Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. We walked through the garden. You wouldn't have believed the trees. It was just great. Yeah, you know what? We did make a wrong choice. We sure did. This was like oral transfer. And here you find Enoch now, who he was in an incredible place, because very simply, what does his life teach us? These two thoughts. Number one, he had a testimony for God. That was his testimony. He had a testimony for God. He was taken directly to heaven without having to die. Fact is, Jude 14 states that he was a prophet. His whole life, Jude states of Enoch, he was a prophet, and he prophesied the second coming of Christ. He was in a place to tell others that there is a life, and God will give this to you, and God will do the same for you. By the way, we as Christians someday, we either look at death or we look at a rapture. The very things that God said was going to happen. And he walked with God. That was his testimony. It's interesting to note, by the way, that he did have a son. And who was his son? His son, the Bible says, was Methuselah. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And God gave him Methuselah. Names are very significant in Scripture. And by the way, be careful if you're going to name your child. Name him something that, you know, he's want to live with. Don't give him a name that's like, oh, my word, what did, who did? Methuselah. The name Methuselah means, listen, when he is dead, it will be sent. He was the oldest recorded living human. You ever wondered why that was? Out of all these lists that he walks on, why in the world is Methuselah? Began studying this out and realizing Methuselah, who lived 180 and 7 years, and he begat and had a child named Lamech, but find out that his name, when it is dead, it will be sent. What will be sent? The flood will be sent. And it was God's way of saying, I am going to send this destruction, but it's not till after Methuselah dies. Do I sometimes wonder when God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, the Bible says? That he's prolonging, saying, I don't want to destroy the world. The corruption of the world, the imaginations of man, that the Bible says ultimately then when Noah was born and Noah came into the world, that it was God's way of saying, I'm holding back the raging waters of judgment by the walls of my mercy and my grace. I want man to come to me. And Enoch here, who is a forerunner for who we will be someday, translated in the very presence of God. Because ultimately, it wasn't just that he had a testimony for God, but it was that he pleased God. And ultimately, this was a portrait of sanctification and separation. When you look at Enoch's life, you realize he walked with God. You say, well, how do you walk with God? The New Testament calls it this way, you walk in the Spirit and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He walked with faith and he pleased God. He walked with favor. He approved him. I love you. I love you. Hey, I like the way you're walking. You're living in a world that's getting worse and worse and worse. And you're going to have a son Methuselah, and you're going to have a son in Lamech, and you're going to end up having eventually Noah that shows up on the scene that God used in an incredible way. Let me mention to you, my friend, that for you and I both, this portrait of sanctification, this portrait of salvation, is not just these stories, these people that are unfolding in their lives are people that went through same struggles and difficulties we did, but they walked with God. And I want to encourage you today, you are in a place and I'm in a place that you need to walk with God. You might not, as I did the other day, walking through a museum of history that was very helpful. Well, they had beautiful displays and exhibits and they had theaters and they had interactive activities. And God, if he put a museum for us, you'd have people that would be in that museum. The heroes of faith, the hallmark of faith that would say, you know, I don't deserve to be there. I shouldn't be there. You might be in a place today where you say, you know, I've got so many problems, so many difficulties, so many struggles. What do you end up doing? You live by faith, which means that God, you don't expect me to be perfect, sinless. Christ is. He wants you to be obedient. Abel was obedient. Enoch was obedient. That's why he walked with God. What is God telling you to do in your daily living? He's going to tell you through this Bible how to live. And so, you, God, I can't do this. You do this through me, and I will please you. Sometimes you get it so complicated. Simplify. Is it starting with your belief, your salvation? Is it generally found in Christ? And then you look at your life and say, God, I want to live every day by faith. Because if not, you lose hope, you get discouraged, and at times you end up walking in areas that you never should be walking in. My question to you is, my friend, are you walking by faith? Are you living by faith? You might not ever be a person to say, boy, you know, I'm just one of those heroes of the faith. That's not what God asked you to do. Are you pleasing God?
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.